Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Before we get to today's episode, I just want to let you know that we went and filmed a D&D is for Nerds miniseries set in the frozen norths of Icewind Dale and based around Wizards of the Coast's recent Rime of the Frost Maiden adventure. The first two parts of this six-part campaign are available right now for you to watch in glorious whatever quality we uploaded it in. Follow the link in the show notes, go to our website, sanspantsradio.com, and hit banner, search for Sanspants Radio on YouTube, or whisper, "Where is it? Tell me your secrets," into the mouth of a common house cat, and wait for the next step. You're listening to the Sanspants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Plumbing the Death Star. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And today we are joined by special guest, Scott Nicewander.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. This is extremely exciting for me to talk about Scooby-Doo on any and all podcasts who will have me. And the fact that you wanted to reach out and get me on, I'm so stoked.
I'm so glad to give any platform to talk about Scooby-Doo. It's what I live for.
Yeah, well, you know? Everyone should brace themselves, because who knows what we'll uncover today. Because we're asking important questions like, would Scooby-Doo be a good real-life pet? Scooby-Doo, dog.
Yeah.
Famous.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Famously a dog, okay?
That we can all agree, yes.
Interestingly, a dog with a simple command of the English language, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And a speech impediment that only dogs have. Imagine you met a human being with Scooby-Doo's speech impediment. Rollo, right next to Rex and Bailey. You'll be like, you are doing a bad joke, sir.
You know, it's funny. I was saying, I think we could all agree that Scooby is a dog, but that's actually not true. I don't know how deep you are in Scooby-Doo lore, but...
Pretty deep, but maybe not deep enough.
I'm deep and just, I'm waving a pen around like I'm, getting, like I'm a teacher. I've got notes. Doing a lecture. In a recent Scooby-Doo TV show, Mystery Incorporated, it was revealed the reason that Scooby-Doo can talk is because he is actually part dog, and he's a descendant of these Anunnaki, like ancient interdimensional beings from another dimension and planet. To be, you know, just to have all the things.
Extra complicated, yeah.
Exactly. And so that is the reason why he can talk and some other dogs cannot talk. And that makes him special.
So on behalf of me and everyone that hasn't watched Scooby-Doo since the 90s, I reckon, that big time. Scooby-Doo
I agree. I never needed that explanation. When I first watched Mystery Incorporated, I was like, Come on. I don't need that lore.
Why?
I'm okay believing a dog can talk sometimes.
Obviously that means, because he's a descendant of that, that means that counts for all the dudes, right? So, like, that's why Scrappy can talk. That's why...
Yeah.
But to be honest...
Scooby-Dum's another one.
But does Scooby-Dum... Let's talk about Scooby-Dum.
Okay, let's talk about Scooby-Dum a bit.
Let's finally... Everybody's been waiting for it all these years for us to talk about Scooby-Dum.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo, Scrappy-Doo, same surname, Doo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Dum, same first name, Scooby. How does that... What's going on there?
That's an interesting question. The naming conventions of dogs is complicated. It's like Kryptonian names.
Yeah.
It isn't impossible, but it is always fucked up when this happens. But cousins having the same first name, not unheard of.
That's true.
You can have cousins that have different last names. So maybe this whoever is Scooby-Doo's mom and whoever is Scooby-Dum's mom, probably... A bit of a miscommunication, or they stole each other's names. And
just like, oh, that sounds like a good name, Scooby. I'll take that one as well. Yeah, okay. Good suggestion.
But then, and this is a little bit of a meta problem.
Oh, no.
Scooby-Dum is a stupid Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo is stupid as hell. So how dumb is Scooby-Dum? It can't be like, it's the stupid Scooby-Doo, because that's so fucking stupid, right?
Well,
I guess Scooby-Dum was pretty stupid, to be fair.
Is Scooby-Doo dumb for a dog, though?
Oh,
I would say Scooby-Doo
that's a good point.
Clever for a dog.
But then is Scooby-Dum dumb for a dog?
Scooby-Dum is probably clever for a dog, but dumb for a dude, but he's not a dude. He's a Scooby.
I would agree with that sentiment, though, because I feel like, especially in the movies of Scooby-Doo, he's always coming to the rescue with some sort of clever way to solve the day. So I do think that he has at least some intelligence for a dog, for a half dog, half
interdimensional
being.
I mean, the moment that a dog says "Ruh, ruh, Raggy," I'm like, "You're a clever dog."
Literally the moment, even if Scooby-Doo just laughed, you'd be like, that's a clever dog.
I think I need to see Scooby talk before I see Scooby laugh. I don't think I'm ready for a dog to just laugh. That's my first interaction.
The laughing is significantly weirder. Like, it's significantly
it's
creepier.
So scary.
Just like feeding a dog and the dog sees the food and just goes, I'm putting that dog down. The devil's in my dog.
Yeah.
But what's more cruel, letting the devil live in my dog?
I think most vets would understand. I think they get it. Mm-hmm.
Sir, you need a vet priest.
No one is in this profession yet, but you've just created it. Well done. Mm-hmm.
Dog exorcisms.
Yeah. Needs to be done.
Scoobsorcist. That's not good. Well, that's not good. Don't laugh at that.
Scott, I just realized, I mean, me joking about dog exorcisms, but I reckon that if Scooby is half interdimensional beast or whatever,
exorcism might
work.
Might actually do it. That is a good point. It's so interesting, too, because about those, they're called the Anunnaki, I believe, they've been, according to Scooby lore, everyone refer to your textbooks.
Scooby tomes.
They have been on the planet Earth since like the days of like ancient Mayan civilizations. And so their descendants have gone on to become beings, like animals that talk. And so all the, like Fred and Daphne and Shaggy just grew up in a world where some animals can talk and some can't. And like nobody looked into that. They're just like, some can, some can't. I don't care. So makes sense to me.
Which I guess so if you had that dog, you would be like, oh, I just got one of the talking ones. No big deal.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Luck of the draw, yes.
It's a reveal. Like, they didn't know about the interdimensional beings. They just never thought about the fact that Scooby talks.
Yeah, there's a couple of great scenes where they discover that there's been previous incarnations of a Mystery Inc., including one that had a horse instead of a dog, one that had an orangutan, Which is fucked up. We never got to see that one.
That's awesome. We need the spin-off shows of this. Yeah. That would've been great.
I think they were in cowboy times as well. Holy shit.
Whoa. That's like sensory
a cowboy
overload.
Orangutan. Yes.
I've been thinking heaps about this is so off topic. Well, not really. But I've been thinking heaps about imagine an orangutan with like a Dirty Harry style gun. Held at you. How scary would that be?
Like, terrifying.
The most frightening thing in the world. Orangutans have so much power in their arms. For one to pull a handgun on me, I would not know what to do. Anyway, sorry, that's consumed my mind recently.
Well, orangutans have long arms, so the gun's closer to you.
Yeah.
It makes it even
that
scarier.
Is true.
And orangutans are lower, so it's closer to your chest. You know what I mean? Oh.
They're like perfectly precisioned, like sharpshooters, these orangutans.
Evolution has created orangutans as the perfect animal to shoot a gun.
That's true.
Yes. Nature made them stronger. We made them smarter.
All right. But let's imagine that we've adopted Scooby-Doo, the dog, in real life.
Yep.
First of all, I'm probably not naming him Scooby-Doo.
What are you going to name Scooby-Doo?
Dog name.
It's a little cliche at this point.
Yeah, it's a little cliche. And it's after a snack he eats. So maybe I'd name him after another snack he eats. Let's say leftovers is what I'll call this dog.
There is that trend about naming dogs after the last thing that you ate. So like I've seen people with like a dog named like Ribs or something like that, or Pretzels. It's like, oh, those are cute dog names.
Well, maybe I'll name it after my parents' dog loves coffee. So maybe I'll name it after. No, I think I'll stick with leftovers. That dog shouldn't be eating coffee. That's so bad for dogs. But he loves it, so who am I to get in their way?
So what do we want out of a dog then is my question. What do we want out of a dog to figure out if Scooby meets those qualifications? That would be my plan of attack.
Well, I guess people get dogs for companionship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tricks?
tricks? Sweet tricks, absolutely.
Exercise?
Oh yeah, that's true.
Sure. Like an active lifestyle, a dog helps that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure, why the
why
hell?
Why do
else?
People why? Get dogs?
They're cute, I guess. Like to have something cute to look at is a good reason to get a dog. You know,
security.
Security. That's a good one.
Get dogs for security.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
a pretty good. That's a pretty good criteria. So companionship.
These are good lists.
Exercise.
Right. Yes. Tricks.
Tricks.
Forgot about tricks. Tricks.
Cute something to look at.
Yeah.
Security.
The five measures of a dog. We all know this. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about companionship. Pretty good, I think, for Scooby. I think he does really well on the. Yeah. He's a guy, he's like, basically.
Yeah. He doesn't abandon. That's like his number one thing is that he doesn't abandon. No matter how scared he is, he doesn't abandon. He doesn't abandon the crew, the mystery gang. He always wants to come and save them. That's a good friend. That's a good companion.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the question is, though, because that's Scooby-Doo living a pretty unique lifestyle. In this situation, he's just a dog in my house.
That's true.
I think, like, a struggle of having a dog that could talk is that every time I failed as an owner, he would let me know. Like, if Scooby could come to me and be like, Red Rock wasn't wrong enough, Raxon, or whatever. And I'd be like, I'm busy, Scooby-Doo. That's the walk you're getting. You know what I mean? I don't know if that... I mean, it's still good for companionship, but I think there's some problem. There's some
don't think that. I mean, Scooby, if Scooby's complaining, being like, Raxon, that rock wasn't wrong enough, you'd be like, well, you're clever enough. Just walk yourself.
Yeah.
Here's your lead, dude. Go down to the dog park. Have a good time. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
I'm being a bad companion to Scooby in that situation.
At that point, yeah.
I just want a friend.
You can figure out a can opener, dude. Get your own fucking food. I don't care.
Yeah, dude. I'm logged on. I'm playing some Dota 2. Baby, I'll see you in 14 hours.
I've got a dog paw shaped controller, a keyboard, whatever you want to do. Bring it on, bud. Yeah.
Dude, you gotta join me in raids or whatever. I don't know how Dota 2 works.
Dude, just be my middle lane or whatever.
Something about towers? Maybe? Yeah. Do you got a racket tower? There's a guy in it named Grizz, maybe?
I don't know why I play this game. I don't know it.
45 hours in, I'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah. So there's that, but that's more on me, I suppose.
I think the Scooby is a good companion to Shaggy because the two of them are so similar.
Mm, very true.
Like they're scared, they're hungry. Those are their two qualities. Mm. And I think because of that, they get along so good. So if you are not like Shaggy, then I think Scooby might not be the right companion for you.
Yeah, if you're in a situation where you're about to eat a sandwich, or even better, you've got your straw in a milkshake, and then you get distracted, and Scooby puts his straw in the milkshake and drinks your milkshake. It's Shaggy just cops it on the chin. But I would be like...
Shaggy's like, oh, that's cute.
You're a dog. You shouldn't drink milk, first of all.
this was a chocolate milkshake, so that's double the trouble.
You might fucking die now, Scooby-Doo. Two, I paid for that milkshake. Okay.
Yeah. You owe me $7.
Plus,
I don't know where a dog's going to get a job, but yeah.
But you better. You can talk, dude. You can figure out how to make some money. And second of all, you bought Scooby a milkshake already, so greedy. You know what I mean?
So one, two, and second of all.
Yeah.
Scott, you've only just met Jackson, but to fill you in and to the listeners, I guess. So we said that Scooby-Doo is a great companion to Shaggy.
Yeah.
Jackson is probably bang in the middle between a Shaggy and a Fred. He has the cold disdain for doing anything that Fred has.
Yeah.
But lives a lifestyle of Shaggy, as you can see by the fact he has used an unmade bed as his backdrop today.
Yeah.
That's okay. You can't see it back here. My whole place is a mess right now. I think we're kindred spirits in that regard.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. Well, that's for me and Scooby-Doo. Sure. I don't think it'll work out for me and him. I think I would get too angry at him. What about you guys? Do you think he'll make a good companion for you?
The issue that I have with Scooby as a companion is that I live in a share house.
Mm.
It's a townhouse in inner Melbourne.
Yeah.
There's three bedrooms and no space.
Sure. Scooby-Doo is a great Dane. That's a good
point. You're itching for a great Dane, yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
He's fucking massive.
My backyard would be best described as a courtyard. It's mostly consumed by a single tree.
Okay, yeah. Nowhere really for him to stretch his legs. True.
No.
Mm.
So, but that's, I mean, is that on Scooby, you know?
No, it's not on Scooby. It's just that it's the same problem you have, Jackson. I think I'd be a bad companion for Scooby.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Somehow this has turned around on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's lots of parks and stuff around. Maybe. Yeah.
You could take him for walks or whatever. Yeah.
I could teach him how to play a video game. Then we're back to the same situation.
What would you teach him to do to earn a little extra income? Because I'm thinking he could do anything on the
phone.
Stream
on Twitch.
Yeah, that's clever.
That could be good.
I was thinking like a phone sex line is what I was imagining.
What?
I'm not rearing any crows.
You know? I do just want to say, in preparation for this podcast, I did listen to the episode that you did with James, Mr. Sunday, and there was a big, long conversation there about dogs getting married. And so I was like, well, I want to try to avoid that topic because you went on for that for quite a while. And now you have jumped immediately to dog sex line.
It is different.
It is different. Technically, it is different.
I thought for sure you were going to say it is difficult for us to avoid such topics.
Well, that is also kind of what I was going to say. We've done nearly 500 episodes. It's just going to happen.
We're going to arrive there. Okay. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have to be a phone sex line. He could also like call and scam people or whatever.
The two phone jobs. Excuse me. Hello. I'm calling to let you know that you have a security issue on your PC. I need remote access.
I just set him up in a corner with a dog phone or whatever, and the money comes in.
What is the difference between a regular phone and a dog phone? I need to know.
Bigger buttons for his paws. He can't work a regular phone. It'd just be like beep, beep, beep as he presses them all. Gotta get him a dog phone.
You gotta.
No other choice.
So What, yeah. Jackson, I mean, you said sex line first, but which do you think he'll be better at? Scamming people out of money, which for some reason the only two incomes you've got from him are scamming people out of money, a crime, or dog sex line, a crime.
Well, no, they don't know he's a dog.
Oh, yeah, that totally means it's not a crime then.
Look, the second thing on our list is that he does need to do tricks. So I think this qualifies.
This counts as a trick? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is my dog. He scams people. It's good trick.
Hey, what? Does he know any tricks? Yeah, watch this. Scoop, scoop. Come to your dog phone.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Do you have 15 minutes to watch this?
Well, first of all, we need to wait for a caller. So
this is going to take a bit.
Yeah, it can take a little bit. tricks. Let's talk about tricks. Okay.
Let's talk about tricks.
Let's talk about this finally. Let's finally do it. So Scooby-Doo, you can just talk to him.
Yeah.
He said sit, he just would. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. I also, and again, going back to the movies, there are definitely times where Scooby skateboards. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Skateboarding itself is a trick, and then it's got tricks within that. You can do all sorts of kickflips and things.
Do you think, though, because like I've seen a skateboarding dog in real life, right?
That
like,
is true.
So do we think that the regular dog tricks are almost like pedestrian if Scooby-Doo is your dog? You know, these are boring tricks. If I say Scooby sit, people are like, yeah, but he can talk, so who cares?
Well, I think you'd probably just say Scooby talk before he spoke, and then you look like a genius trainer.
That's true.
That's clever. Well, I don't know. Do you think this... Know. Like, if I think... Scooby ride a bicycle would be pretty impressive to see, you know?
See, I'm worried, Jackson, and maybe it's just the relationship that you personally would have with Scooby-Doo. I feel like the moment you ask Scooby to do any trick, it's insulting to him.
Why?
Because he's got like a higher level of intelligence, I guess.
Scooby, sit. Rock you!
Well, I just remembered my favorite, like, dog trick. Now, this is a trick that obviously I would never want my own dog to know, but it's a trick I've always wanted to teach friends' dogs, which is, you know when, you know that thing where you point your finger at, like, you're shooting a dog, and the dog, like, rolls over like it's dead? So I've always wanted to be able to do that, but when I do that, the dog throws up, because I think that would be such a funny trick to be like, hey, Dusha, I taught your dog a new trick. And you're like, what? I'm like, check this out. And the dog's like, you're like, why? Why would you do that? And then I've got that power over your dog. And in many ways, you too, forever.
Yeah, that is true.
How do you teach a dog to spew up on command?
Well, I don't know. We're in the early stages of figuring it out.
But We're beta testing this right now.
Exactly.
But we've got some ideas.
We'll get there. But I don't know. I feel like you'd need more complicated tricks for Scooby for it to be impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I agree.
But then Scooby is so clever that Scooby is probably capable of tricks. So like you need a higher level of trick.
Sure.
But then the tricks that you need to like kind of achieve for, strive for, are probably tricks you yourself couldn't do. So you're like, you can sit and stand and play dead and whatever. But when you like ride a bike or, well, probably not ride a bike. Jackson, please tell me you know how to ride a bike. Yeah, I've seen you ride a bike. You're good.
I can ride a bike. I figured it out.
But like,
all three of us definitely know how to ride bikes.
But if you like Scooby skateboard or Scooby do an ollie.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. I think juggling, that's another one.
Oh,
a dog
to
have that sort of control. I'm just going to like all the classic party tricks. Plate spinning, that's a thing you see at parties all the time.
Scooby has no thumbs, so juggling and plate spinning I think will be difficult.
Oh, pretty impressive though if he manages it. And now a quick word from our sponsors.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Andrew Levins, and I love comic books. Do you love comic books? You do? Well, you should subscribe to the Serious Issues podcast. Every episode, I'm joined by another comic-loving guest for reviews of everything we've read. We cover superheroes, indies, crime, horror, all-ages comics, manga, and more. Subscribe to Serious Issues at sanspantsradio.com, Acast, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
For some reason, the first party trick I thought of was, you know when people drink milk and then squirt it out their eye?
What is going on with your brain?
That's a trick I've seen people do at parties.
Well, that's why Scooby's stealing your milkshake all the time. He's like, this has milk in it.
Are you rapping around, Rexon? No, yuck. I'm eating, dude.
Yeah. You click your fingers and point at him, and he just squirts milk from his eyes.
Good dog.
This does require setup of having him to have had drank milk at some point, I imagine.
Yeah, if I'm like, hey, everybody, watch this trick, and I give my dog a glass of milk, nobody's sticking around to see the next part. All right, that's tricks. What was our next category?
Let's exercise, I believe.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. He's a Great Dane, so...
He's a Great Dane. He's always running from trouble. Anything that scares him, he's going to run away. So you have to go chase after him, which means you're going to get your exercise in.
And you're probably like, oh, that's all cardio. Scooby also loves to jump into Shaggy's arms.
That is true. That's your weight training.
And let me just double check this.
Yo, what's the weight of a Great Dane?
Is the average weight...
How strong is Shaggy? Oh my God.
The very first episode of Scooby-Doo references that Shaggy is the school's best gymnast, and it's never brought up again.
Just like Shaggy's ventriloquism powers, which also...
That's true. Also the first episode.
He's a modern day Renaissance man. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
140 to 170 pounds. That will mean things to Scott, but not us. So let's just go 170 just for the pounds.
Yeah,
kilos, 77 kilos. So that's the weight of like a fully grown, adult woman, probably around that.
That's heavy. Yeah. And jumping into your arms without like warning is just
also true.
You're not going to be ready for it. You're probably going to be like Shaggy. Thank God he's got that center of gravity, I guess, maybe from his time wrestling, that he can just body Scooby jumping into his arms. But I think, and you know, maybe I'm wrong, but if it jumped into any of our arms, we would just fall over, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have no core strength whatsoever. I would like Scooby would jump into my arms and I would collapse like a pile of rocks.
I think with an embarrassing scream we'd all do it too.
100%. You know?
What's the name of the forearm bone? Because I'm gonna have two snapped of those.
Yeah. But it's that's not exercise. That's just damage to our body.
What is exercise if not little damage to your body that you just get used to over time?
Your forearm bones will grow back stronger.
Yeah, that's right.
All that milk that Scooby stealing all my milk though.
Yeah, so you can't
cry
get that.
At parties. Yeah.
If Scooby kept stealing all of your milk and then he jumped into your arms and snapped your bones, would you be a little suspicious it was on purpose? You've been trying to degrade my bones, dog.
For what purpose, I haven't figured out yet.
I know you're up to something.
That if you combined that drinking the milk, breaking my arms, and he's running a scam hotline, I'd be like, is this a hit? Are you putting a hit out on me?
Why? I have the weirdest dog? What is happening?
Do I owe money to the wrong people for some reason?
Well, this would bring us to like another topic, which is security, because now you're feeling less secure with Scooby around.
Like two strangers in the same house, just walking into the kitchen, seeing him. Hey, Scoob. Hello. Just passing each other by.
Oh, boy.
He is a coward.
Yeah, that's true.
100%.
So if somebody broke into your house with ill intent,
he'd run up the stairs, jump into my arms, snap both of them.
And now you're both useless.
Yeah. Holding a gun with your dangly hands. Get out of here! Gotta flick him up or whatever.
There's an orangutan where I need one.
But so with Scooby-Doo and his cowardice, he's scared of ghosts. But yeah. Is he scared of more human threats, like just a murderer or a thief? Or is it just like the supernatural that frightens Scooby? Because it feels like often in Scooby-Doo, when the true culprit is revealed, whoever they are, Scooby's like, oh, okay, it's just a human villain. So yeah. I don't know if he's, if the, you know, I don't really know what Scooby's scared of, to be honest.
Is That's it mortal, a good point.
Is it mortal peril or is it the supernatural or what's
yeah,
going on
maybe
there?
It's, well, so be, it, maybe because I'm spinning a theory off the top of my head
Please,
here. Maybe
let's go.
Because he is part supernatural being.
True.
Other supernatural beings are like, he sees them as more of a threat. Like, hey, you can't kill me. I'm half, you know, supernatural
Anunnaki.
Being.
Anunnaki, yeah.
I'm half Anunnaki. I'm all golden. But then the second ghosts or witches or mummies and zombies come around, it's like, okay, this is a non-human threat. This is actually something that'll get me.
We're part of the same ecosystem at this point. I am in trouble. And to further like support that theory, in Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? There's the great episode, the first season or the first ever show. Is it called Don't Ape the Ape Man?
Don't Ape the Ape Man, yeah.
Don't Ape the Ape Man. And in that episode, because I remember watching it and finding it really strange that Scooby-Doo was quite assertive in that. Like, he goes and punches that ape in the chest or whatever, and he fights the ape. But it's because it's an ape. He's not scared of it.
Yeah,
it's not a supernatural threat. It's just a big ape, you know?
Just a big ape. He's definitely, he is aggressive towards animals and other animal things.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
That, I think we've seen that over the course of multiple cartoons. When it's just the ghost. So I think you're good. I think you're golden. If someone comes in to like rob you or to like get revenge over a bad dog phone sex line call. Or the episode of the podcast. All of those things. Equally possible of happening. I think you're good. I think Scooby will actually stand up for you.
I think you're going to be okay. And I think the moment a robber breaking into your home sees a dog rise up on its hind legs and put up its fists to fight them, they will turn the fuck around and get right out of your house.
Because they're like, we've robbed the wrong fucking house today, boys.
Guy's got a possessed dog. No, thank you. Goodbye. Good luck.
I think, well, and then another thing that we haven't even talked about is he gets significantly more brave even in the face of supernatural threats if you give him a little treat.
That's true.
You just give him a little Scooby snack and he'll do whatever you want.
Now, that's a great, great point because how, with the Scooby snacks, like, how reserved would you be in getting him to do things that he otherwise might not want to? Like, are you going to wreck how rare the Scooby snack is for him? I guess, like, how spoiled will Scooby become being your dog? You know what I mean? Like, is it the kind of thing where Scooby snacks will lose their what's the word I'm looking for here?
Allure?
Yeah, I guess they're allure because you're like, Scooby.
I'm a genius. I'm the clever one. I know.
Yeah, you're the smart one. I'm the hot one. Zamet's the strong one.
That's right. He's the absent one.
Yeah. But yeah, so do you think you're going to be like, oh, Scooby, I'd like you to go do my shopping or whatever. And he's like, I don't want to do that. And you're like, take a Scooby snack. Scooby, could you tuck me in? I don't want to do that. Take a Scooby snack. Scooby, flush the toilet for me. You right there, Jackson. I know, but I'm reading the paper. Take a Scooby snack. You know what I mean? So that when a threat comes along, Scooby doesn't care about the Scooby snacks because he gets them all the time anyway.
Well,
see what I'm driving
at? The simple thing would be not to give him Scooby snacks for all of those situations that you could easily do
but
yourself.
But you don't know how hard that. I'm a busy person.
Yeah,
I'm a busy man. I gotta move on. I gotta do other things and let my dog do other things for me. Like, I can't, chores, cleaning, get out of here.
Are you kidding me? If you think you gotta do the dishes at night, but you know you could get Scooby-Doo to clumsily do them instead.
Being a guest on a podcast? I'll let my dog do it.
Exactly. We could be here chatting to Scooby-Doo, being like, do you reckon you can make a good pet? And he'd be like, Rez?
I disagree, Scooby-Doo.
Difficult for me to answer.
I think it'd be a fucked up dog to own.
He finishes the episode, comes back to you all depressed. You're like, what did you talk about?
It was personal.
So I think it's, and like, he wouldn't do those chores well. You know what I mean? Scooby-Doo doing my dishes is smashing plates. Nothing's properly cleaned.
He's going to make more of a mess than anything. Yeah.
But it's a small price to pay for not having to do it myself. You know what I mean?
I will say that most of pretty much any of the consequences of getting Scooby-Doo to do any of these things is entirely on you, Jackson, because you could just do them yourself.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. So are we saying good for security then?
I think so. I'll give him the check mark of security.
Yeah, I think he's doing
Scooby-Doo
great.
In canon has held many a swords.
And also true.
Yeah.
If you've got a dog that can wield a weapon, that's good security regardless.
Let me tell you something. I was skimming through end game episodes of Mystery Incorporated, and that show gets wild. At one point, Scooby is in a mech suit with, like, guns out of, like, his hands, just, like, going in a circle spinning and shooting at robots.
Right.
And it's not a dream sequence or anything. It's a real thing that Scooby does. He gets in a mech suit and starts destroying robots. I think he's great.
Yeah.
Where did the mech suit come from? And was it made for a guy or for a dog?
So, more complicated Scooby-Doo lore. In the Scooby-Doo universe, technology was more advanced in the past, so World War II was fought with robots.
Yeah.
And so, he basically got into a World War II robot and converted it into, like, wearing it as a dog suit and shooting it at people and all the other robots.
Okay, so, did technology go backwards, or is that also how they're explaining how, like, a janitor can be like, I made a floating hologram suit that
it's exactly that. The reason why villains in Scooby-Doo have such advanced technology is because technology is just more advanced in this world. That's how it is.
Yeah,
that's just how it operates.
Mystery Incorporated just have a fucked up van that is cool paint job, I guess.
They don't have the, there's an episode of Mystery Incorporated. No, not Mystery Incorporated. Sorry. There's an episode of What's New Scooby-Doo where it's discovered that the Mystery Inc. van used to belong to a dead 60s musician who haunts it. That and Fred got it cheap from like
that's
a sale of the guy's stuff or whatever, which I think
the
is
car
very
was
funny.
Haunted there for a bit.
Like,
yeah.
So Fred's not even Fred's car. It's a dead celebrity's car that he's driving around in, which is very Fred Jones, let's be honest.
Very much so.
What about the one of our other criteria, good to look at?
Good to look at.
Scooby-Doo is not good to look at.
No, in fact, the exact opposite. So the original intent behind the design of Scooby-Doo was that he was supposed to be the exact opposite of what a prize-winning show like Great Dane would be. So he's got like a weak chin, he's got like bowl legs, he is like, his eyes are a little like close together. Like, they are just not good qualities in a show dog.
Sloppy Great Dane.
Exactly. Very specifically, would not win any competitions.
That's so funny that they made Scooby-Doo. They'd be like, yeah, let's just get a, like, what is the best looking Great Dane? Now let's just fuck it up.
Yeah.
That's our design.
But maybe that would be charming if he was your pet, you know? You're like,
maybe.
He's an idiot. He's a dud. Some people like ugly dogs. I like ugly dogs. So maybe that would make him good to look at. Here's the thing that they don't ever show in the Scooby-Doo cartoon, for fair enough reasons. Slobber. There's no slobber on Scooby-Doo, but in real life, there would be...
That's true. Yeah. And he is always licking his lips, though, and food's around, but there's no slobber coming out. That's a good point.
Not an ounce of drool, but
he's
would
dehydrated.
It's all that milk he drinks. He drinks some fucking water. But yeah, so I think that would be a very... Because I, like, man, I can see whatever. You know, I got a very... Who cares? Piss, shit, cum, I don't care. But dog drool? It just makes me feel so nauseous every time I see it.
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
He's not mangy, so he's you know, he's got all of his fur is still there. It looks fine.
He's got a nice big spot. Yeah.
Just to come back to your very bold claim, you own a dog. You find mystery cum on the ground, and you're like, I'm just glad that I'm cleaning this up and not dog drool.
No, I'm saying that if. I
what
mean,
are you saying?
Cum's not good to see, but it doesn't make me feel nauseous. But drool does. I mean, it'd be gross. I wouldn't be like, I'd just carry on with my day.
I am the exact same way. Like drool and spit is like the only thing that makes me sort of like gag a little bit. No, thank you.
It's horrific. It's so gross. Again, if he shat, that would be bad.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Whatever. Yeah. As long as it's not drool. Drool is gross.
Okay. So All right. Just needed a bit of a clarification.
That's
there.
Fair. Mm-hmm. So I think looking at Scooby...
Mystery cum, still bad.
Still bad. I don't know why you keep saying mystery cum, because mystery cum comes with a whole bunch of other problems, dude. If there's just a cum on the ground.
Yeah, it might not be Scoobies, and then you'll have extra questions.
Did I do that? Is that? I don't remember coming earlier today. I don't know what's going on there.
The reason I said mystery is because you made a bold claim that you like piss, shit, cum, whatever. And I was like, well, if it's your own cum, then you're not going to be that fazed by it because you'll know how it got there.
But I don't even like my own drool. That's gross too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we gotta move past this.
Scooby is nice to look at because he does not drool. That is the ruling that we have. He's a little ugly. He's a bit of a dud, but he's charming, which are all the things that my girlfriend says about me. So I can relate in that regard.
Yeah.
Scooby licks everything. True. Like he licks Shaggy, he licks sandwiches, he probably licks other stuff.
Yeah. True. He'll eat stuff off the floor. I guess most dogs will. He'll eat sandwiches. I think, and this is something, it doesn't actually fall into any of the categories we talked about, but Scooby's annoying. He's an annoying dog. Like, if you're trying to eat something, he can open the fridge. He can take food out of your hand. He eats like a human being. You know what I mean? So I think that is where he would probably lose the most points for me, in that if I'm eating food, like, you got to train your dog not to steal food from the table. But Scooby's sitting at the table, you know what I mean? So you kind of can't avoid it.
Yeah, because even in like Zombie Island was a really great example of he doesn't even see himself as a dog. People are like, oh, get that dog out of here. And he's like, dog, where? You know, like he just doesn't see himself. So he doesn't understand that they're like, you can't be, Scooby, you can't be sitting at the table eating food for the rest of us.
You can't be doing that, man. But you're a filthy dog. You're gross, okay? So I think that is, but maybe, I don't know, maybe that's how Shaggy trained him. Maybe it's like when, you know, our friend Adam has a great story about how he used to know a dog that was like a bulldog that was allowed to sit at the table and got given a plate of human food, just like everyone else at dinner. And if he didn't eat, if there was like a guest or whatever and there was no room for him at the table, he threw a massive tantrum because he was like, why am I not sitting at the table? I'm a person.
That's my spot.
Yeah. So maybe that's the sort of same things happening with Scooby-Doo. And you don't teach him those lessons. He won't steal from you.
Well, Scooby is human-like. Mm-hmm. Like, as in, has a lot of traits that a guy has that a dog doesn't have.
True.
Mm-hmm.
How many human traits does Scooby have to have before you are like, well, you're cleaner or better look after than a normal dog, so therefore there's not a hygiene issue? Like, is Scooby sitting at the table actually bad?
True.
Yeah.
Good question.
Is he at that point? Is he a pet or is he a roommate?
Yeah.
He's like, if Scooby's showering,
that's true.
Yeah. Which he does. He does do that.
Yeah. He does shower. Maybe he's pretty clean, to be honest.
Maybe he is pretty clean.
Yeah.
Wipes after he shits.
Yeah. Well, I don't think a dog needs to. So.
Well,
you don't wipe your dog's ass after it shits.
No, but the dog licks its ass to clean its ass.
That's fair point. Fair point. So,
which is, again, brush your teeth, Scooby. If you're gonna clean yourself like that, brush your teeth.
Yeah,
that's all we're asking for.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's not a big ass.
I know. I know. With the lack of thumbs, it might be challenging, but you can manage.
You can figure it out. You can figure out how to drive a car sometimes, Scooby Doo. You can figure out how to wipe your own ass. You know. I think. Yeah. I think the thing that really would the reason that I think ultimately I'm going to land on him not being a great pet is that he is not enough of a person to just, like, live as a person. And he's not enough of a dog to just live as a dog. And he lives in this strange nether zone between the two of them that, frankly, I can't be bothered with. I think if he was my pet, I would ultimately feel bad because I would be like, you're too sentient. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But obviously he's not sentient enough to just live in a house and have his own apartment or whatever. So it's tricky.
Could he eventually Kermit the Frog it and just like have a mansion to himself or whatever? And
that sounds lonely.
I think in a pup named Scooby Doo. It's my quota. I have to talk about every single Scooby Doo property.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm here.
Good.
In a pup named Scooby Doo.
That's exactly. The contract you sent was very lengthy. In a pup named Scooby Doo, he does have a dog house, which is technically on somebody else's property, but it does one of those like TARDIS things where it's much bigger on the inside. So on the inside, it like is a full mansion, but it is just a doghouse in the back of like Scrappy's yard or something.
That's so
in the back of Scrappy's yard.
Oh no, sorry, well, Shaggy's yard.
But also, I was gonna say, oh my god, I just almost basically shit myself there because I was like, a doghouse within a doghouse. Why does Scrappy own an actual house and Scooby owns a dog? What is going on?
But okay. Scrappy does give off huge landlord energy though, so that would make sense.
But Scrappy's an interesting case, isn't he? Because he just talks in full sentences. He stands upright like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
He's fussed up to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that sort of line between like human and pet, human and dog, like Scrappy is much further on the human side.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think he has little hands too. I got to look up Scrappy Doo. Fuck.
I think he does even have thumbs too. Yeah. I think
he does. He's got full on fucking hands. Jesus Christ. What is going on there? I do not like that.
He's much more human than dog.
Yeah.
And therefore
Jesus.
Would not like him as a pet. No, thank you.
No, I think I'll take Scooby Dumb. Thank you very much. You know what I mean? He's the biggest moron in the land.
Even worse to look at, though. But maybe charming? I don't know.
He wears a little hat. That's great.
He does wear a little hat.
Gotta love Scooby Dumb. Listen to this. Scooby Dumb is above all else as dim-witted as his name implies. This spaced out, unintelligent demeanor leads him to be both extremely brave and extremely cowardly. Depending on whether or not he actually noticed the danger near him is actually dangerous.
He's a little oblivious.
Yeah, he doesn't know what's going on, which I like better than Scooby-Doo because he's more on the dog side of the scale.
Okay.
That's more appealing to me, I think, at the end of the day.
Even though Scooby Dumb wears a hat, he's more dog than man.
Yeah.
And then Scrappy is more man than dog.
Yeah, I would say so.
I would think so. And then I think Scooby's right in the middle there.
Yeah. That's not the scale of man to dog is not what we set out to figure out today. But it's definitely where we've arrived.
It sure is. Oh, goodness.
I think if we want to answer the question that we posed at the start of the episode, is Scooby-Doo a good real-life pet? I think what we've learned today is that Scooby is probably a fine pet, but would we be good owners? No. No, no.
Lord, no.
That is what it seems to come back to. Yeah, none of us own a dog currently?
No.
Do we?
No, I have a cat.
Yeah, I got two cats. So
I got nothing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dead spiders in my room. I don't know. That's probably the closest I have.
You make little collars for them.
Regardless of where you live, Jackson.
Yeah.
Because you used to live like in basically the bush.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
The stereotypical Australian like bush.
I lived rurally. For sure.
Your bedroom there was full of bugs.
Absolutely.
And that
makes
sense
spiders.
Because you left your window open.
Yeah.
At all times.
Of course, I like a breeze. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you had to throw out a laptop because, to quote you, it got too full of moths. Yes.
Too full of moths, yeah.
Because you'd be watching things in the dark.
The moth would rest on the laptop between where the screen ended and the keyboard began in that hinge. And I wouldn't see the moth, and then I'd close my laptop, and then I'd open it in the morning, and there'd be a dead moth there squished into the microphone. And then slowly it got worse and worse until the laptop
Are
was...
Are you the problem, do you think? Are you the one
I'm
attracting all these bugs?
That's what I was going to say, because originally you're like, it's just because I live rurally. And we're like, all right, fine. But now you live in like a city suburb, and you're still having a problem with... I can't remember the last time I saw a spider in my house, full stop.
Right in the crook of the window, so you can't see it. There's like 10
I can't.
Dead black spiders in a web. And I don't know what's killed them all, but...
A bigger, stronger spider, apparently.
Yeah. They all went to the It's like an elephant's graveyard. They all go to the same place to die. I don't know why. It's weird.
So, yeah. Scott's got two cats. I got one cat. You've got 10 dead spiders in one web that you can't get to the bottom of.
It's all the same thing.
Yeah. And clearly none of us have a dog, you know?
None of us have dogs.
I don't think any of us have the space for a Scooby-Doo in our lives. And maybe Scooby-Doo would be the perfect dog for not only Shaggy, but for others out there, those that have bigger homes or potentially are just better people. but unfortunately, when looking at us three, is Scooby-Doo a good pet? Nah, big time no.
Big time.
Big, big no. The only thing I have a check mark for, I wrote the list down when we first started. The only thing I have a check mark for is security, because I think we were kind of iffy on everything else. So, 1 out of 5, Scooby.
Yeah. That's a fail, buddy. That's a fail.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Scott.
And Scott, where can we find you?
You can find me all over the place. I have a YouTube channel called NerdSync, NERDSYNC, where I make video essays about nerdy subjects, sort of exploring art through curiosity and vulnerability. I've got a whole Scoobtober event going on at the moment. I don't know when this episode's going to air, but that's very exciting. And I also have two other podcasts, if your listeners are interested in podcasts at all.
Some of them might be.
Yeah.
I hear that some of our audience do listen to podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not heaps, but some.
Yeah. I have an actual play D&D podcast called Late to the Party, where I play a character on that. That's very fun. And I also have a brand new podcast I just launched a couple days ago called It's Probably Not Aliens, where a friend of mine, a historian friend of mine, and I talk about the show Ancient Aliens and debunk a lot of their conspiracy theories.
Oh, that's great.
While teaching about real world history of ancient civilizations and people. And I think it's a fun time.
So good. Yeah.
So drastically different nerdy niches. I'm all over the place. One of those might grab you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for jumping on the episode, Scott. And listeners, check out Scott's stuff. It's very good, very varied. Unlike us, where we always go back to dogs getting married or having a phone sex hotline.
I like on the Scooby-Dumb Wikipedia page from Scooby-Doo.fandom.com, under powers and abilities, it says, Scooby-Dumb's foolishness sometimes allows him to break the laws of physics. Okay.
What if I told you everything you know about the world is wrong?
What if I told you that all the things you were told were impossible were, in fact, very much the opposite?
Reality is not what you think it is.
It's so much more complicated.
Fascinating.
And, above all, terrifying.
We are at the fringes of the map.
And there's more than just dragons.
As you're traveling further and further and further north, you're looking at your phone, watching as 5 bars becomes 4, becomes 3, becomes 2, becomes 1, becomes that little emergency E sign. About a year ago, a company called Bismarck Oil and Coal collapsed. Mm-hmm. When it collapsed, several documents became unsealed. It was filled out by Officer Lenny McBride.
That's who I am. I got one girl at home. I got a daughter and the wife, but she's looking after the daughter at the moment. And that's who I am. Len to my friends.
You see a big painted sign in very big and bold words, both in English and in French. Warning, at all times, please keep your weapon.
Okay.
The elevator takes you down underground. You get the willies.
Do you think that once it's out, it will be gone, or...?
It'll be free.
What are we dealing with? What is this?
What on earth could you think it is?
An awful thing. Something that turns men against men.
And I gently put my finger under Wade's chin and lift him up and kind of look him in the eyes. Yeah, right there, Wade. You took a bit of a tumble.
I don't know. I don't know. You don't believe these stories, do you?
Beyond the Map, an anthology series set in a world not that different from our own. Listen week to week on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Alternatively, you can just grab the whole campaign as a digital download on our website, sanspantsradio.com.
Hold up.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.